I was still at the office because the earthquake happened at 4:53 p.m. I was leaving one meeting in the Christopher building, which was the main UN building. I was moving out of this meeting and attending a meeting at 5 p.m. in the UNDP building across the street.
So you were on the street when you felt the tremors?
I was in the street, but within the UN compound. So unfortunately, I could see behind me the UN Christopher building collapsing. But I could also see Port-au-Prince, so I also had a bit of a sense of the magnitude of the disaster for Haiti and for the Haitians. We could see fires, we could see gas stations that had exploded, we could see a terrible scene of total disaster and chaos.
What happened exactly in those moments?
During the seconds, actually, of the quake, it's so quick, right? It took about 50 seconds. You cannot even move because the floor is moving, the buildings are moving, and when it stopped, then we start helping some of the colleagues that were a little bit more traumatized. So much has happened in those 15 seconds. The city as we knew it no longer existed.
What did you feel at that moment?
A feeling, first of all, of total uncertainty. What would happen next? Because the level of destruction was such that you could expect anything to happen. So it has crossed my mind that something would continue happening. Maybe the floor would open up, a tsunami, I don't know. The second feeling is total desolation. I was thinking, is there any way Haiti can come out of the thing? Because you could see the bodies all over the place, the buildings destroyed. So it was an image really of chaos, of total destruction.
I imagine you lost colleagues and friends in the catastrophe, right?
Yes, a lot of colleagues and friends. As you know, 102 UN staff members, a lot also of government folks, people I knew even from before Haiti. You can imagine that the minds of everybody were thinking about families at home, families in the hotel, but at the same time about Haiti and how we could help recover. And work never stopped. That's very important. Work never stopped. While they were indeed colleagues and friends under the rubble, and we would try and do the best to take them out of there. And we did take quite of the colleagues out and quite a lot of the Haitians out. And the Haitians took some colleagues out. And the other way around, there was no dynamic of, you know, the development community help in Haiti. But one single body trying to help as much as possible and get out of the situation as fast as possible. And I want to make a point on those colleagues in particular who worked around the clock, working with their bare hands to take colleagues out of the rubble and try and provide some type of first aid to them on the spot without any medical support or conditions. That, I think, needs to be remembered.
How did this event affect you in a personal level?
It affected me in many ways. I prefer to look at the more positive ways. It really reinforced my belief in the UN work, my proudness to be part of that. For the majority of the colleagues I remember, the first concern and reaction was serving and helping Haiti at that moment. But the main concern was do the job better than ever. And those who stayed with a very limited team, what was done was quite a lot, actually, under a lot of criticism. So that's the second thing, perhaps, that I learned. You have to be able to cope with a certain level of external criticism because the level of frustration is so high that someone is going to have to pay the bill. So it was difficult to see a lot of the media reports at that time providing an account, a very sad and unfair account, as if the UN was not providing any type of effective support whatsoever, when despite the personal drama of the organization, a lot was being done.
In that respect, would you like to leave a message, something to highlight how much has been done?
I would like to make a plea indeed. I would like to ask everybody, please, to take a closer look to the half part of the glass, which is full. Yes, Haiti has a lot of challenges. Yes, it takes patience. And yes, it's very frustrating for all involved. But there's also a lot of things happening. A few examples. 2 million people were displaced after the quake. 80% of these people already found, with the Haitian government support and that of the international community, have found solutions. There were 10 million cubic meters of debris. That's huge in a city like Port-au-Prince, where it's so difficult to get access to the debris. 80% of the debris is gone. This is a lot. 8 million cubic meters in 3 years. You have improvements in many of the indicators. If 50% of the kids only were going to fundamental school in 2006, now almost 80% of those children are going. If you consider that in this 3-year span, not only all this had happened, but Haiti was struck by a cholera epidemic, by several hurricanes, by a few political impasses that are so natural to a young democracy. It's quite amazing. There's a lot of commitment, of resilience, and of willingness to move ahead on the Haitian side. And trying and box Haiti in a very pessimistic and negative narrative, if there's no possible solution for the country, is the worst thing we can do as international partners and friends.